who have really no voice. We were representing those who are being slaughtered and sold by profit by Planned Parenthood. So can I tell you something without any reservation? You know what God hates? God hates the shedding of innocent blood. That's what it teaches us in the scripture. And today, I'm here to declare that God is not tolerating this stuff. He is going to judge this nation. And ultimately, I believe it's a response from the church. I believe that the church is being response to this, because there's a deafening silence that we hear from the church of God. Now, so today's not one of those feel-good messages. In fact, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit himself is going to break your heart. Break your heart as much as my heart has been broken for the unborn. So let's look at the scriptures today. Let's find Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verses 16 down to verse 19. Here's what it says. These six things the Lord hates. Now we can see God hates some things. And then it goes on to say, yes, seven are abomination to him. Now here they are. Look at one. A proud look. You know what that is? Listen carefully. That's pretending to be something that you're not. God hates that. Then look at the next one. A lying tongue. That is stating something that is not. And that's probably about half the profiles that are on Facebook today. Look at this. The hand that sheds innocent blood. I want to be clear today. We have no right to take life. The Lord gives life and the Lord takes it away. And we are to bless his name. Even in the Declaration of Independence, there in the first words from Thomas Jefferson, he says, the right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. Now, if you don't have life, liberty doesn't do you much good dead, does it? If you don't have life, then what good is it to pursue happiness? How can you pursue happiness? Even in the Declaration of Independence, there are things that suggest what the Bible is talking about here. The shedding of innocent blood. Look at verse 18. A heart that devises wicked plans. You know what that is? That's going outside God's plan, what he has planned. Going outside what he has designed. Doesn't that speak about what we're doing as a nation? Look at verse 19. A false witness who speaks lies. That goes beyond just telling a little white lie or anything of that nature. This goes beyond that, and it's telling multiple lies in a legal setting to set someone else in a bad position. And look at the last thing. And one who sows discord among the brethren. See, God doesn't find it funny. He doesn't find it humorous. Those who gossip, those who carry tales, those who do things and say things to get their own way. Now may God bless the reading and the hearing and the preaching of his word today. I want you to understand this is a call for God's people to wake up and to realize that this nation is in crisis mode. I've said it already. I will say it again. What we see from the church is just a deafening silence concerning the systematic killing of the unborn. And it's time for the church to put into practice seeking his righteousness and realizing that that is the righteousness that will exalt a nation. Righteousness exalts a people, but sin is a reproach to all. So we go back a few years, back to 1973, when the Supreme Court took a case by the title of Roe versus Wade, and they made a decision that abortion was the law of the land. Do you know that since that time, there have been 50 million babies that have been killed? 50 million! It's simply unbelievable when you think about it. We've reached well beyond what Nazi Germany has ever thought about doing. And can't you see in your mind and in your heart that these cries are reaching the Almighty himself? 6 million Jews, gassed, experimented on, tortured, dismembered, exterminated like bugs. Well, how's that any different than what we're witnessing today in America? And the practices of Planned Parenthood, their medical staff. I'm just telling you, I see no difference. Almost 10 times the amount of people killed by us than Nazi Germany. And this is stench in the nostrils of God. I want you to understand some things. God's immutable. He doesn't change. So what I've read about today, there's nothing going to change about that. You may think, well, God's sort of winking at that. Isn't it amazing that God says that lying, carrying tales, you know, doing things that we sort of laugh at, he lumps them right together with murder? Now, this is serious stuff. He still hates these things. That's not changed. He still hates the fact that we are shedding innocent blood. And his ears are hearing the cries of these children. I mean, has anybody watched these videos as they pull one of these babies out? And it's moving around and the doctor's saying, keep it alive, keep it alive. We want its brain. I mean, this is horrible. Moses wrote these words, you shall not afflict the widow or the fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry at me, I will surely hear their cry. Open your mind, folks. Imagine the cry of 50 million babies being torn apart in their mother's womb. And can you imagine those who enter a godless eternity that have perpetrated these crimes against humanity? Can you imagine them hearing throughout all eternity the screams and the cries of those little babies? Let me put it to the church here today. Can you comprehend, because of your lukewarmness toward this issue, that before you enter into heaven, God wiping the tears away from your eyes because you've done nothing about this, you refuse to vote, you refuse to support candidates that were pro-life? I can just picture a sorrowful day in heaven where he will have to wipe the tears away from our eyes. It's not because of what we left behind. It'll be because of what we didn't do. See, these thoughts. If you're lost without Christ today, this ought to motivate you to jump into God's kingdom with both feet forward, asking him to save your soul. If you are complacent about these things, this ought to motivate you to move toward to hate the things that God hates and be willing to speak up against it. We need to have a personal character which in the church that will influence our national character. Do you know what I was told on Capitol Hill? This may sound a little political, but so what? Here's what I was told on Capitol Hill. Christians don't matter. You know why? Because we're like this, doing nothing. And God's given us the opportunity to do something, to speak up, to be the voice of those that are being systematically murdered. And why is that? Why is our character so flawed? It ultimately comes down to this. We're just a nation of idol worshipers. That's what it comes down to. And it's ultimately, in my opinion, and I think I'm qualified enough to state my opinion today, it comes down to an idol of self. If it makes you happy, it just can't be that bad. We have legitimized all these things in the pursuit of happiness. We've legitimized all these things in liberty, and these things are not good. But we tell people, if you dream it, you can attain it. Whatever happened to whatever God wants me to do, that's what I want to do. Follow your heart. Trust in what you think. That's baloney. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The reality is our hearts worship the wrong things. There's a couple Hebrew philosophers who have gone as far to say this about the Bible, encapsulating what their one sentence about the Bible would be. Its central principle is to deal with the rejection of idolatry. I agree with that. It's prevalent in the church. We keep our idols well hidden in the facade of good things. Oh, we need to do this. We need to follow that. You know, it's all about my pension. It's all about my wages. It's all about this, about cutting taxes or sending money to somebody that won't work a lick to save their life. Ezekiel said it this way in the 14th chapter, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart. Now, what God is saying is that they've kept them hidden. They've kept them away in the deep recesses of their heart. And remember, the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful of all things. And put them before them and cause them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of them at all by them? You know, God does not hear us in this idol-worshipping mentality that we maintain. And let me just flesh this out in what's going on with Planned Parenthood. You know how they disguise this? It's women's health. Well, the reality is that there are other agencies that do far greater things for women's health. So it's disguised in women's health, but it's this idol of self that it's disguised in. It's disguised as women's rights. I for the life of me, I cannot begin to fathom how this is women's rights. Where's the child's right? Doesn't even our Declaration of Independence say the right of life? If we cannot secure the right of life, what do these other things mean? It's disguised as sound parenting. Murdering your kid is sound parenting, right? I mean, can't we see the fallacy in the thinking? And I'm sure that everybody's response was like, oh, you know, these aren't idols to us. These are just things that we need to do to maintain a great society. But God says the human heart takes things, disguises them that are awful, atrocious, terrible, horrible, things that God hates, and disguises them into good things. And we really have discarded the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing is knowing Him, loving Him, being called and used according to His purpose. Where are you going to find significance other than God? I don't think you're going to find it anywhere else. Where are you going to find security, safety, fulfillment other than God? The things that I've just named there will not bring safety, significance, security. What has happened to us as His church is we're just fools. We're fools worshiping gods created in our vain imagination. And God's not happy with it. We have drifted. We have drifted from the compass that God has set before us in His word. And our ears become deaf to His voice. Our ears become deaf to what God says that He hates. We become callous. And what it is just, it's sad. Oh, it didn't happen overnight. You know, it just didn't transpire overnight. It's what in navigational terms, is called an occlumative error. Now, what that is a pilot's term. And as you're flying a plane, you're going to a destination. But because of the wind and different things that go on in a plane, it can get pushed off course. And over maybe 500 miles, that course can be taken way off, and you will never arrive to your final destination. You know what the pilot has to do? He has to constantly check where he's at right now and make that adjustment to get to where he wants to go. That's what we need to do as God's people. I believe in my heart that the church can make a difference in this. I'm praying for John Boehner. I am. I watched a man speak his heart and say how he was horrified by what he has witnessed in these videos. Now, whether you're going to vote for him or not, that's your prerogative. But I can tell you this, after meeting with him, I'm praying for that guy like I've never prayed for him before. He's in a very, very difficult situation. And he deserves our respect, and he deserves our prayers. So when we get to this accumulative error, it's just simply just minor little things that build to greater little things. And before you know it, we have abomination before us. We start winking, well, it's just, you know, it's abortion. What can we do about it? Or, you know, moms have the right to say this or that. Let me tell you what it is. It's disobedience to God. It's an act of rebellion. And God is not pleased with it. He's abhorred by it. He finds it repugnant. And it leads to separation from him. So what has happened? Well, when a nation, and I'm speaking nationally now, or individuals as well, stiff-arm the character of God and embrace the nastiness that we see before us, it ends in disaster. We're worried about ISIS. Do you realize that 3,000 babies every day are killed? And we're worried about ISIS? That's junior varsity stuff, barring a phrase from our president. We're rebellious. We disregard. God says this is wrong. And it's just a short step to go even beyond where we get. Where's it going to come to? That if you're not profitable, or you're someone that society deems as worthy, then you just be sold, parted out, killed? This nation needs a turnaround. There's no ifs, ands, or maybes about it. Deuteronomy says this: you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. We're not worshiping God in the way that, in any way that we're doing right now. For every abomination of the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. So I, to be frank about it, I'm sick of seeing leaders get up and say, oh, you know, give some kind of reference to God, maybe misquote a Bible verse, and then off the stage they go. God's not pleased with this kind of stuff. We need to move past it. So it's not enough just to know what God hates. There must be a complete turnaround from it in our behavior. And I'm saying today, I don't have a national audience, but I've got you. And I'm saying today that the turnaround starts today with every single one of us. You know what that's called? It's called repentance. It's calling about us falling on our hands and knees and saying, I'm sorry, God. This is wrong. Has anybody seen the recent videos? Have you just seen part of them? Raise your hand. Very few of you. I'm sure those who have seen it have a very strong opinion about it. I know I do. I'm going to challenge you. Those who didn't raise their hands, you watch at least one. You view it. Oh, they're grotesque. They're awful. No civilized person. You couldn't paint this kind of picture in the multi-billion-dollar horror movie that you see in these videos. No way. And then, after watching it, see if you have a complacent attitude about what's going on with abortion and Planned Parenthood and selling of baby parts. They've exposed what's going on. Isn't it amazing? They want to investigate those who have found this out. It's ridiculous. You know, I saw you, Mitch, you got your baby there. Do you realize that your child there isn't much different than the little baby that we see in one of those videos? Really not much different. And nothing's being done about it. We need to keep exposing the evil that is before us to the light of day. And I believe there are millions and millions of people across America, God-fearing people, that are appalled by this. But let me tell you something. It just can't be that you're appalled by it. You've got to turn godly sorrow into true repentance. Repentance requires a stopping and pointing out that there is a turning point in my life, spiritual awakening. There must be a point in which, you know, I've been tracking off center. I've been sort of complacent about some things. I've really not followed through with what I have the responsibility to follow through with. I will say this. Every single Christian ought to be a registered voter. That begins to make a difference. Let the breath in your lung and let your vote in the ballot box be used to send a message that we're not going to take this anymore. We're not going to stand for this. Do you know why? Because it's a battleground. This is a battleground that we're in. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 12, Paul writes, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness and in heavenly places." The turnaround begins in the spiritual arena. We have to realize we need to repent. And this is not a political arena here. Waiting for the soul of this nation to be changed by some charismatic leader is not going to happen. We are a government by the people, for the people. It's a reflection. Tony said to me this morning, we are a reflection. Our government is a reflection of who we are. That's sad. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. And if we permit something without declaring it, that it is something that God calls sin, we're simply promoting it. We're enabling it. God's hatred for this should be our primary and really our only motivation to stop it. I know there's callous judges that make decisions that are terrible and atrocious. I realize that there's a complacent media that seems to be in the tank of those who want to kill. My God's greater than those entities that I just named. Why don't we start crying out to God to make a difference? How can I make a difference? I mean, can you hear God's voice? This is what he hates. And he's not going to tolerate it from us being procrastinators, waiting and saying, well, it'll get better someday. Someday's today. His hatred for shedding blood is clearly, clearly stated. And it should be embedded so deeply in the DNA of every one of us that when we see it, when we have a chance to speak against it, we're going to. We all remember as children learning the song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's the earliest truth that we learn as children. It's brought to us, we rehearse it, we learn it. We need to remember it today. God loves us, and because he loves us, we need to hate what he hates. Knowing what God hates and ending what God hates should be a driven by the love that we have toward him. Now, let me be clear, everyone listening to me today. Being right with God is not achieved by feeling sorrow about doing wrong. It's about repentance, and it's about doing what's right. It involves forgiveness of sin. It's impossible to be right with him and ignore what he hates. You can't say, okay, this is what the courts decide, you know, this is what's going on. No, we have a right to speak against it, and we have God Almighty who has challenged us to speak against it. So Proverbs says this, "The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he who loves him follows his righteousness." It's not a matter of right and wrong, debating that. We know what is right and we know what is wrong. And we need to follow what is right. So finally this morning, I want to talk to you about victory. Listen to me. Obedience in this is not an option. It may feel hurtful. You might say, I don't want to get involved with the fray. you don't have to carry posters, signs, or anything of that nature. We have one of the directors of the Pathway to Hope Women's Center here. She would be happy for you to help her. Do you know what it means to these mothers who have made the decision that they are not going to kill their child, to have someone come alongside them and help them and care for them? It means so much. Not someone looking down and judging, well, you got pregnant out of wedlock. Oh, you did this, you did that. Then you just, you know, that's as wrong as what they did, folks. And two wrongs never make a right. You can vote. You can vote your Christian conscience and say something to those who are really worried about your vote. They think you don't matter. And God says, you do matter. Follow me. I'll make your face strong against those who speak evil as good. See, delay in obedience is not a good thing. It may eventually lead to a turnaround, but if we're basing our hopes on some charismatic guys, I've already said, coming in and fixing all this, or charismatic gal for that matter, we're wrong. We fix it here, now. I don't want to stand before God, and I don't want him to have to wipe tears away from my eyes because I did nothing about this. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is the Lord. I'm telling you, God stands ready to prepare us for this fight. We can be strong in it. We can go forth with him, and we'll let the victory be his. The victory begins with just this fresh act of obedience. No more excuses. This is what God hates. The victory is a spiritual battle. It should begin today. We can't deny that God has given us this opportunity to do something about it. Amazing enough, Sam Chadwick said this: it's amazing what God can do with a broken heart when you give him all the pieces. I'm hoping today that your heart is broken over this matter. I hope and pray that you allow God to pick up all the pieces. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to continue to pray for our leaders, even the ones that are pro-choice. God can have them gnawing grass out on the Capitol Hill lawn, just like he did Nebuchadnezzar. Amen? Hey, amen? Amen? Huh? I'm going to pray for those who do know what's right, and I'm going to ask God to give them the strength to do what is right. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will come around these men and they will find a consensus to get some things done. And I'm going to hold some people accountable for what they do and they don't do when it comes to their politics. That's what I'm going to do. The anthem of this nation has been, I did it my way. We got to turn from that, folks. We've got to do it God's way. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath against him who causes shame. So, I said today's that watershed moment, but it's a continual moment as well. It's not pentinear, it's linear. This needs to go today. Every day we need to repent about this. Continual repentance is an expression of genuine gratitude toward God. We've got to keep checking the course. We don't want error to creep in. A spiritual awakening can happen in this nation again. One like it was never before. I believe that. I can sense it in some ways. So don't wait for someone else to come in and fix it. God's calling you right now to align yourself with his character, to denounce the depravity that we see in our culture, and to be on the right side of not history, but on the right side of God in this matter. Because God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Let's go ahead and go on to the conclusion, or to the today's challenges. I want everyone to stand. I want everyone in this room to read that first line. Let's read it together. Realize that I need to hate what God hates. Can I have an amen to that? Does anybody here hate the shedding of innocent blood? Amen? Turn away from the idols that have kept me from being obedient to God. Whether that's your wife, your job, your money, lack of it, whatever the case may be. Turn away from it. You're not going to find security and safety in anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up and speak for those who can't speak for themselves. We need to do that. Would you join me in prayer? Father, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy today, Lord, may we realize the grace and mercy that has been bestowed upon us. We have been given life. In fact, Christ, you have said that you have come to give life, and that life be more abundantly, an abundant type of life. Father, we've confused some things. We've taken temporal things, and we have morphed them into eternal things that really aren't eternal things. It matters when we lie. It matters when we sow these seeds of discord. And Father, it matters when we shed innocent blood. I'm just praying, Father, that the Holy Spirit is going to wake up your churches. The churches of God, the Southern Baptists, the Independent Baptists, the Methodists, the Catholic Church. And we're all going to stand in opposition of what we have witnessed over the past few months that has been perpetrated for years and years by Planned Parenthood. Father, if there's someone here today that doesn't have that right relationship with you, I pray that you're going to move in their heart and mind, and they realize that you love them. You're calling them to repentance. You're calling them to save their soul. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.